So as we come to the end of this magnificent chapter that we've been looking at recently, chapter 40 in the book of Isaiah, I have four words for you. So if I can have my initial screen up, and then I'll take us through the four words. I've got four words for you. See if you can relate to them. Maybe you can relate to the picture already, but see if you can relate to the four words. Faint. Sense of low inner resilience, the sort of low battery warning is showing. You're sort of, you know, when the screen goes into battery saving mode on your laptop. And that's how it feels as you face life. Weary. Can you relate to that? Weary. Overwhelmed by the things that you're facing. Just seems too hard to go forward. To have the energy. Each day seems so difficult. No might. It's more the word, it's a phrase. No might. As it said, your get up and go has got up and gone. You just feel as though you're floundering in the face of your circumstances and what might be unfolding. You feel like that? No might. Exhausted. Exhausted. The journey has worn you out. You feel like the hiker who can't go any further and is just sort of flopped at the side of the pathway. You feel like that. Well, if you can feel any of these things, then you can understand the territory we're in at the end of Isaiah 40. Verses 28 to 31. Let me read them. You'll see that these words come up, some of them several times. We're in the territory of Isaiah 40 when our frame of mind is like this. Beautiful words. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. These words, this passage, they deal with what we might call soul weariness. Soul weariness. Feeling sort of spiritually faint. A sort of an inward sort of inability to carry on. And it may be connected to physical weakness. It may be connected to mental weakness. We're very interrelated as beings, but it's especially an inner attitude and an inner outlook. It's shaped by our view of God. And here that sort of faintness and weariness, that spiritual weariness, which maybe you can relate to, here it's especially linked to a feeling of being overlooked. Verse 27, the start of our passage. Why do you say, O Jacob, so a name for the people of God, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? It's as if God doesn't notice. We feel sort of out of sight and out of mind in relation to God. It's as if God has lost my file. I'm not on his whiteboard anymore. I've dropped out of his inbox. He doesn't know and doesn't care what's happening for me and for us. And we can feel this, can't we, when life is so difficult and demanding and bewildering. When we're despondent and when we're confused and we can't take in the situation. And we wonder about the situation, and we wonder about God, and we wonder about his purposes, and we wonder about his character. Perhaps you can relate to that after a very difficult few weeks or few months. Life has just gone in a very different direction from what you planned. Speaks here, of course, into a period of exile, it seems. God's people would be taken away into another empire as a result of the things in which they'd done and turned their back on God. They would be away from their homeland. They would be suffering. They would be longing for things to be back to normal. And it would seem to take so long. And they would think, how can this be happening? And into this situation of spiritual weariness, soul weariness, real inner struggle. There are just two simple things to say from this passage this morning. I've got a bit to say afterwards, but there's two main things from this passage this morning which speak into it. And this is the first. God is not weary. God is not weary. It's very simple, isn't it? But it's important. Do you find that helpful to remember? Verse 28. He does not faint or grow weary. It's part of a larger description of God here in verse 28. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. They needed to be reminded of God and who he is. And so do we. And you got a lot of that last time, a couple of weeks ago now, where Mark took you through the middle verses and they lifted up your sights to the Lord. And we get a bit more of it today in this verse 28. It's not new. It wasn't new to them. It's not new to you this morning, but it needs to be sort of renewed in your mind. Don't you find that? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. God is not weary. God is not faint. Did any of you stay up all night last night? Rhetorical question, you don't have to answer. Unlikely, maybe one or two were on a shift. Or take our hats off to those who do night shifts, don't we? Maybe some of you had a bad night. You're uncomfortable, pacing around with things on your mind. Maybe some of you had to get up for little ones or much older ones who are dependent. Perhaps very occasionally one of you will say, I just didn't get a wink of sleep last night. But most of us get some sleep. And most of us are very tired. And when you went to bed last night, you needed sleep. And perhaps some of you said, I fell asleep the moment my head hit the pillow. Perhaps it was like that for you. It's part of our humanity, isn't it? We need several hours of sleep when we're sort of, if you like, dead to the world. It's the same every single day. We're out of action. We need to recharge. But God does not grow faint or weary. God was not nodding off during the night. God doesn't need a long vacation. God, in his nature, his divine nature. Of course, Jesus took on flesh and experienced these things in his human nature, which is an amazing thing that he was weary and he was asleep in the boat. But God, in his divine nature, does not do these things, does not need these things. Of course he doesn't. He is the everlasting God, we're told here. He is eternal. He is life in itself, and he is the giver of life. The everlasting God. What a lovely phrase. Psalm 102 says, "Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end." He is the everlasting God who does not grow weary. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. The creator of you, yes, but not just you, not just Crowborough, not just Sussex, not just the UK. He is the creator of the Galapagos Islands. He is the creator of Kamchatka. He is the creator of the Arctic Circle. He is the creator of South Georgia Island. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. Such is his power and his might. God is not weary. And he understands. His understanding is unsearchable. He understands more than any artificial intelligence. There's no sort of gigabyte limit to God's memory. And then when we think that this God is our Father, our Saviour, our Helper, it's a wonderful thing to think about, isn't it? God is not weary. When you're exhausted, it's such a help, isn't it? And such a comfort when others have the capacity to keep going. You know, if you're poorly at home, but there are others in the home who are able to still function and go to the chemist for you and go to the shop for you and sort out things, it's a great help. There are times, aren't there, when a whole family goes down with a virus and they're all sort of laid out on the sofas and there's nobody to do anything. And it's very hard then, isn't it? It's so good when you have got others with capacity. And the Lord is above weariness. The Lord is above fainting. The Lord does not get exhausted. Time leaves no wrinkle on the face of the eternal, Martin Lloyd-Jones said about this passage. And we're helped when we look up to a God who is not weary. I remember when I used to work in Maidstone, and there was a time when I used to stop for my quiet time on the way in a lay-by just outside Teston, on the edge of Maidstone. I remember one time it was a very foggy morning, and I couldn't even see the end of the lay-by. And there were nice fields around, nice bridge, I think, but I couldn't see any. I couldn't see beyond the lay-by. It was just so dense with fog. And I remember looking out of my window, and you know what? I could see the moon. I could see the moon. It was sort of morning, and it was sort of, the sort of white moon you sometimes get in the morning. I could see the moon, but I couldn't see the bushes. The surroundings were so dense and confusion, but when I looked up, I had clarity. And it's often like that, isn't it? our circumstances, when we look at them, are mystifying. But when we look up to the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, the one of infinite understanding, the God who does not grow weary or tired, then we gain some clarity. God is still in control. God is still working his purposes out, even when everything is foggy to us. He is the God who is not weary. And then the second thing that comes out, the passage, is God renews the weary. God renews the weary. God's power and energy is not just sort of self-contained within himself. He gives to others, especially to the spiritually weary, especially to those who look to him. Verse 29, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Those who are these four words at the top, faint, weary, no might, exhausted, they can experience God's help. He looks for them. Those despondent, those bewildered, those at the end of their tether can experience an inner strength and an inner lift. Now, the weary first find rest in Christ when they become Christians. The rest of the gospel. Jesus said this in Matthew 11, verse 28. What wonderful words of invitation. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I don't know if you've ever found that spiritual rest that comes through Jesus from the weariness of trying to justify yourself and find peace within. There is a rest that comes through Christ in the first instance. And you need to go to him if you haven't found that. But it is an ongoing need for us as well to receive strength in our weariness. And what's a good example of this? In Cyprus, in the English-speaking service, they're going through 2 Corinthians. So in the growth groups, which was reflecting on the previous weeks, we were at the end of 2 Corinthians 4. And we read some of 2 Corinthians 4 this morning. And It's very much on the point here. Here is somebody feeling weakness, but knowing an inner strength. This was Paul's experience. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay, weakness broken, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Then these moving verses that it carries on to, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Verse 16. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. You were in 2 Timothy 4, I understand, last week. Similar there at the end, verse 17. In all that Paul was going through, in his deprivation, in his imprisonment, in being forsaken by others, in having people being nasty against him, in being let down by lots of people, he says in verse 17, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. Have you found that inner strength sometimes? Do you need that inner strength constantly as you face a day at a time, serving your family, serving in your work calling, serving in the life of the church, serving in your community. God renewing the weary. We've been hoping, seeking, praying to find a suitable youth worker. The deadline passed away on Friday for the ad that we put out, and there's no way forward as yet. So there's a lot of pressure on those involved with youth work, and indeed so much of the life of the church. So many bearing a lot of pressure, and we feel very mindful of that as church leaders. We were talking through it this week. And it should be something we are very mindful of. But this verse is also an encouragement to us, isn't it, all in this scene. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. But it's not just about service and doing things. It's about inner faith and attitude. When we're confused, when we're down, when we're wondering why this illness has come and why it seems to stay so long, why this has happened to our loved one, why that decision was made which has affected us so badly, why that unkindness has been directed towards us and is so painful, why we're experiencing perhaps some of the knock-on effects of previous mistakes. When these things are our pathway, God can give strength to go forward. As Paul says elsewhere, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So what are we to do? What is the secret? How are we to face weariness and exhaustion? Well, there are practical things. We need to be careful about our workload. Jethro was concerned about Moses' workload. We need rest. That's a God-given blessing. We need sleep. We need friendship. We need breaks. All sorts of things. These are mentioned in the Bible. But especially here, what's the key thing here? It's to wait for the Lord, or wait on the Lord, as some of the translations have it. Wait on the Lord. But those, verse 31, who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. What does that mean? Wait for the Lord. It doesn't just mean sort of sitting around doing nothing. That's not the emphasis. It means trust. It means hope in the Lord. It means depend on the Lord. It means to anticipate his work and that things will be sorted. It is to rest in him. It is to have an enlarged view of God, to realize things will be resolved. It is to entrust ourselves to God in our need. It is to anticipate that he will fulfill his promises, that all things work together for good to them that love God. It is to ultimately hang in there until the new creation occurs. It is to wait for the Lord. Do you need to wait on the Lord more? Have that spirit of waiting, of trusting, depending, of anticipating. To do that in puzzling circumstances. One of the books I have on Isaiah by Derek Thomas, he quotes Elizabeth Elliot. Maybe some of you have heard of Elizabeth Elliot. She lost her husband when he was young as a missionary to South America, Jim Elliot, and in the years that followed, she became quite a writer and a speaker of seminars and such things. And she writes about an incident in her life. A woman had just discovered that she was suffering from a progressive illness which would lead to paralysis. That lady was annoyed and angry. It wasn't fair. On the other end of the telephone, Elizabeth Elliot was thinking about how modern Christians think it a matter of their right to be happy and free from trial. How wrong this was, she thought, as this person spoke to her on the telephone. Composing herself, she began to respond. I didn't weigh in with all of this to the troubled girl on the phone, but I did try to help her see that as a Christian she might look things from a different angle. She needed to start from the love of God and understand that love revealed on the cross does not exclude but must always include suffering. But what good will I be flat on my back? Came the plaintive question. So we had to talk about God's idea of good. He wanted her to trust and obey. The only way she could learn trust and obedience was to have things happen which she could not understand. That is where faith begins, in the wilderness, when you are alone and afraid, when things don't make sense. She must hang on to the message of the cross. God loves you. He loved you enough to die for you. Will you trust him? There was a pause, and I heard the little voice say, "Oh." I'm sure she felt she was about to enter a waste, howling wilderness, and she was afraid. I prayed that God would go with her every step of the way and let her know that everything was under control. Well, I don't know how we would feel or process that if we were in the situation of that lady, or if we were trying to help somebody who was going through that. I'm sure we would want to feel exceedingly sympathetic. But it is a wonderful thing when facing such things we can look at it from the perspective of God's greatness, of God's love, when we can realise that he has things under control. When although we can't see the end of the lay-by, we can see heaven and know that God is in control of all things. Psalm 27 ends like this. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. The Lord was working through his purposes in Israel, the people of God, and their future. And they needed to wait on him, depend on him, trust in him. That's what we need to do. From fainting to faith. And see what happens as a result. According to these verses, it's put in such beautiful poetry. These are astounding verses, aren't they? Verse 31. We have four different things. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The faint instead find that they have been renewed. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. There's fresh strength inside. There's fresh getting up and going. There is the inner man being renewed day by day, as it said in 2 Corinthians. That's what happens to those who wait on the Lord according to this. And as he pictures it, he thinks of an eagle. And we also have the fact that they soar. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. I didn't know which picture to have, whether to have the stressed lady or the eagle. And somebody suggested to me, well, why don't you bring the eagle in later on? You need to feel the stress at the start. That's what life's often about. But here we have a picture of somebody waiting on the Lord. And the picture in mind is they're soaring as eagles. Have you seen a bird of prey rising on the thermals? On the thermal currents? Maybe you've seen the paragliders do it on the downs, you know, somewhere, and it's going up, and it's like effortlessly. It looks a lot of effort to get all that gear and equipment and risk. But to see the bird soar up, and that's the picture here. They will mount up like wings, mount up with wings like eagles. They are, if I can put it like this, they're soaring despite the soreness. They're soaring despite the soreness. It's like that song, isn't it? You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I'm on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. What else? Those no might. Here they run instead of weariness. They're breaking into step. They're into a trot. They're running. They shall run and not be weary. It's not just a youth thing. Verse 30, even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But being reminded of God and his purposes and entrusting themselves to him, there is a sort of spiritual running going on. There's a spring in their step. And then lastly, they walk and not faint. They shall walk and not faint. Instead of being flat out on the side of the footpath, they're back going again. And in some ways you may think, well, it feels like a little bit of an anticlimax. You know, you've had an eagle soaring and you've had somebody running, and then you end on the note of somebody walking. Flying, running, walking. But maybe it's meant to end that way. Maybe it's especially helpful that it ends that way. There are times in life when you get special help for special times. Maybe you can look back at times where you almost were soaring in the difficulties. There are times when you feel as though you're running rather than weary. But for so much of life, it is about the trudging. It is the next day of serving. It is the next day of living by faith. It's the next day of enduring through the confusion. And with God's help, these people who wait on the Lord walk and not faint. So the people of Judah here, well, they get help to trust through their difficulties. They have a hope which energizes. They're revitalized as they think about the Lord. And for us, well, I hope for many of you, pray for many of you, you have found the same. Let me read through these five verses again, just in conclusion. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded from my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, shall we sing together our last song, which speaks of God's kindness in giving to us in our exhaustion. He gives us more grace when the burdens grow greater.
He hears us more grace.
Lord, we praise you for these wonderful verses that we've been able to work our way through this morning. And we especially pray as we finish for one another, and especially for some amongst us here or listening online or afterwards. We know that many have very difficult pathways to go through. They've had an awful lot to cope with in recent months. And we feel for them in their weariness, their exhaustion. We go that way ourselves sometimes. And we pray for them, for us, that we might be deeply encouraged by remembering who you are and the grace that you give. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to you, and we pray that you would help us to wait on you and to experience that inner strength. Asking in the name of Jesus, Amen.